Turn your Bibles, if you would. Now let's stop first at Luke 2:51. I'm going to read a couple verses, not necessarily going to exegete or anything, but Luke chapter 2 and verse 51. Where'd it go? Yeah, there it is. He went down, that's Jesus, went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Okay, the phrase in there, Jesus was subject unto his mother and stepdad, Joseph. The Bible says that Jesus was subject unto them, Luke 2:51. Ephesians chapter 6, good, you know, famous passage there that we deal with on families. Verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Pray that you'd bless the time that we have together here. Thank you for this church and the wonderful work you've raised up. The testimony it is in the community, the fine young people that these families have produced, and pray that you'd bless the time here, be help and a challenge and instructive, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Bible says that, if children ought to obey their parents, Ephesians 6, 1 there, Bible says we ought to honor thy father and mother. Teaching a Sunday school lesson, they are down at in Bus Sunday School, anyhow, down there at Clay's Mill today, on honor thy father and mother. All of us as children ought to honor our parents. You ought to give honor to them, and certainly, and with the bus kids, we teach, well, what does it mean to honor your parents? Well, it means that you treat them respectfully. You don't cuss at them. Hopefully you don't cuss at your parents. Bus kids do. You talk of them respectfully. You don't talk about my old man, my old lady. It's my mother, my father, my mom, my dad. You don't give honor to somebody by referring to them in some kind of an offhand, oh, that's my old lady. That's not honoring. If I had somebody I wanted to honor, I wouldn't, you talk about them in a respectful, honoring way. You honor your parents by living right and trying to serve God. My mother taught me that this good old King James Bible, 1611, is the Word of God, and it ought to be the guide for my life. Well, she's gone to heaven now, but as I want to continue to honor her, I ought to follow what she taught me. I ought to try and live the way she wants me to live. If I'm off running around, messing around, selling drugs, or preaching some other Bible, or preaching different standards or ideas or something like that than what she taught me, that wouldn't be honoring her. My dad taught me to be honest and to work hard and to be a man of my word and pay attention to my family, to love my family, and so on. A lot of that he taught by example. Well, if I'm a good for nothing and don't, am dishonest and don't keep my word and so on like that, hey, that's not bringing honor to my father. My mom and dad both in heaven. But, if I'm going to continue to honor them with my life, then, best way I can honor them is by living the way they taught me to live. I mean, it's nice to, I wish I had a dad to buy a Father's Day card for today. I haven't now for 34 years. He's been in heaven. No, 24 years. It's 82. October 12, 1982. 24 years. Haven't had a dad to buy a Father's Day card for all these years. But I'd like to. But on the other hand, buy him a card, give him a gift, and then don't go out and live the way he taught me to live. That isn't honoring him. Go out and be dishonest or crooked or wind up in trouble or wind up in jail. Hey, that's not bringing honor to my dad or my mother. Bible says honor thy parents. Now, I it's wonderful. You know, if you have family, you have your parent, your dad's living, you ought to buy him a card, you ought to send him a note, you ought to make a phone call, you should have sent a gift. I think you ought to do that kind of thing on Father's Day, but that doesn't amount to anything compared to living the way they want you to live and being, bringing honor to them with your life. You honor your parents by living right. You honor your parents by serving God. You honor your parents by expressing love. And again, you ought to buy the card. You ought to send a gift. Hopefully you did something for Mother's Day, Father's Day. But, but more than that, I mean, it doesn't hurt to say, you know, Mom, I love you. Dad, I love you. And express that love. Say, well, we just don't do that in our family. Well, it doesn't hurt to start. My mother was 91 years of age when she went on to heaven back in October last year. And her health was getting worse and worse, and her mind was getting less and less. She had Alzheimer's and was getting, you know, she always knew us. But it was almost the point that I was praying. I said, God, she's ready to go whenever you want to take her. And because, I mean, she was frustrated with living. She kept saying, I wish I could die. I wish I could go to heaven. She knew she was saved, knew she was on her way to heaven. She knew her body wouldn't do what she wanted it to do. Her mind wouldn't do what she wanted it to do. And it was just very frustrating to her. And she was enough there that she knew that. And she kept thinking, you know, hey, if I go to heaven, I'm going to have a new body. I'm going to have a new mind. You know, I'll be better off. And I'm getting to, you know, at some point you get to where you have more friends over there than you've got down here. And you're looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing, and at some point. But anyhow, you know, as we'd go to visit her, you know, as I left, I think about every time, certainly the last time I visited her before she lost consciousness and was kind of in and out of a coma, but wasn't really expressive. You know, I'd kiss her on the brow and say, "I love you, Mom," and she'd kiss me on the cheek and say, "I love you, Son." And, you know, we express that again and again and again. So, you know, I mean, I wasn't going to wait until she was laying in the coffin and say, boy, I wish I'd have told her I love her. I just wish I would have said. My dad died a little bit more suddenly back in 82. He'd been sick also, but, you know, but we didn't really expect him to go when he did. But even still, looking back, I don't have a speech I wish I would have made. Good. I said those things when he was around and could hear them. And you ought to express love. It's a way to honor your parents. And of course, you know, you say, well, I don't have to worry about that. My dad's only 50 and he's healthy, or 40 and he's healthy. He's going to be around a long time. And probably he will, but you don't know. You know, all of us know of situations, car accidents, so on, where teenagers, young adults, middle-aged folks, I mean, they're just gone like that. And whatever you said to them when you left the house this morning turned out to be the last things you ever said. I mean, you know those situations. I mean, let's not wait to express our gratitude and our feeling to our loved ones until they're laying in a coffin. And they're saved. I think people in heaven know what's going on down here, and I think if they're saved and they're in heaven, they can still hear what you're saying. But I want to be able to express it while they're here and can hear me, and I can, you know, I can see a smile on their face. And I can bring them joy with those expressions. I mean, they deserve it. The Bible says you ought to give honor to whom honor is due, Romans. And you got a good mom or a dad, or as far as that goes, you got a mom or dad that isn't so good. They deserve honor. They brought you into this world and they cared for you when you couldn't care for yourself. And they may have messed up some. They still deserve honor. Anyhow, young people, teenagers, whatever. There. Let me talk to the parents a little bit and dads and talk to you some about children and raising a family. My wife and I have three children, a daughter who is 30-something, and 33, I guess, almost, 32, married to Chris Santaguida. They're moving to Bend, Oregon, the end of this month to start a church there, and been assistant pastor for Brother Mutchler in Oregon City for 6, 7 years, 8 years, I don't know, good while. And a son, Paul, that teaches for us there in Lexington, a son, David, that lives up in the Hammond area, is very involved in the ministry at First Baptist. All of them married. We have 7 grandchildren. Our kids are grown and gone. Thank God for a family. There's a feeling going around. Sometimes you get an idea, and you'll hear preachers, not necessarily fundamental preachers, but somebody that's fundamental in doctrine maybe, but not aggressive in soul winning and so on, trying to give you the idea that you have to choose between, in your life, between being a red-hot soul-winning hellfire and damnation, separated, aggressive bus ministry running, soul-winning, hard working day and night, trying to build a work and save America, Baptist preacher, or whether you want to do that kind of thing, or whether you want to be the kind of fellow that's kind of laid back and stays home and doesn't do much, and so you're going to have to concentrate on your family, and that you have to choose between rearing a good family and being a red-hot, soul-winning, separated Baptist preacher. Now, I don't think you got to make that choice. But I've heard people say things that kind of imply that, you better tone down your soul-winning, or you better not get too hurt. One fellow that's doesn't have any children, but he's got all kinds of information out about how to raise children. And, I had all the answers, too, when my kids were 2. I figured I knew everything then. And by the time they got to be teenagers, I remember walking around the lake and little pond-type lake again and again and saying, God, I don't know. Give me wisdom. I got to know what to do. And you follow Bible principles and so on. But I heard him say once, heard this fellow say once, some of you are too involved in church, and that's hurting your family. Now, I don't know. I don't think you get too involved in church. I don't know anybody that's hurt their family by being too involved in church. Now, I think there are people who are very involved in church who ignore their family when they're not in church, and their kids wind up not appreciating it. But the people I know that are involved in church, you got to take the time that you're not involved in church and take care of your family. And you got to take some time to spend with your family. I noticed in the bulletin, Brother Ross going on vacation with his family this week. That's the kind of thing you ought to do. Brother Fugit's going on vacation with his family week after next or so. I've forgotten exactly when, July 4th week, and I think maybe another week. And takes his boys fishing and that kind of thing. He'll call sometimes trying to get a hold of the preacher, and, he's not here. He took the boys fishing today. And that's good. You got to do that kind of thing. But I also don't know any preacher that works any harder than Brother Fugit does. Brother Russell Anderson, who says, you make a living between 9 in the morning and 5 at night, but you make a life between 5 at night and 9, become a success between 5 at night and 9 in the morning, says, I don't know any preacher works any harder than Brother Fugit does. But he takes time with his family, too, when he's not working. I mean, nobody works 24/7. But the idea that, you better tone back and cut down on church because that, getting too involved in the church is going to hurt your family, that's silly. I mean, everything that you're trying to teach your kids and everything that you want your children to be, they're getting at church. Why would you pull them out of that? Now, my wife and I were visiting on bus route yesterday and before we left. And this fellow, we're not coming to church tomorrow because it's Father's Day. Going to spend the whole day with the family. Why don't you bring them to church then and start out there? We're going to Perkins for pancake breakfast at 9 o'clock, and then we're doing this, we're doing that. And why don't you bring them to church? I think one of the most important things you can do in rearing children is take them to church. It occurred to me at some point while I was trying to rear my children that, I told all 3 of them. I said, if you wind up full-time in the ministry and full-time Christian service, that will please me. But you don't have to go into full-time Christian service to please me. I mean, to say I don't care probably wasn't true. I kind of hoped they would. But on the other hand, and I believe in being honest, and a statement I made again and again was, if you go into the ministry and full-time service, whatever, become preacher or something, that will please me. But you don't have to do that to please me. You can please, you know, as long as you're living for God and serving Him and trying to, I mean, I tell you, a lot of laymen are going to get a lot more reward in heaven than a lot of preachers. Because of the way they're living and what they're producing and the bus routes and the ministries and the children's works and the teen and the youth directors and everything else. Hey, I mean, I know a lot of laymen going to get a lot of reward in heaven more than some preachers that, you know, show up once in a while on Sunday morning and so on. Not what you've got here, but you don't know how fortunate you are here. But, you know, so, I mean, yeah, it pleased me if you go into ministry, but you don't have to go into ministry to please me. But I did hope that all my children would wind up staying in church and raising their family in church. I mean, it would disappoint me if I got a call and I talked to one of my kids today. They called me for Father's Day, and I said, well, how'd the day go today? How was church? Well, Dad, we didn't go to church today. You know, it was Father's Day. We wanted to spend the whole day with the family. And I feel like, man, didn't you get anything out of 18 years in our house? You're not taking your kids to the church? Well, we went to the beach, and we went swimming, and we went to the movie, and that break my heart. I mean, if one of my main goals for my kids is that they'd stay in an independent fundamental Baptist church and be active in it and keep those kinds of standards and convictions and stay true to the Word of God and how to live a life, then it seems like I ought to build my life around the church. I'll make sure we go to church. And I mean, you know, we had a rule in our family. I mean, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we went to church. I don't think there's anything more important than raising a family and then taking them to church. And at different times, you know, we'd go on vacation. And once or twice, you know, we got caught in different, you know, I mean, we always went to church, whether we were on vacation or not. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we went to church. And we dressed up and looked for. I mean, going to church was important. And, you know, put a tie and a sport coat on the top of the stuff in the trunk. I mean, you know, everybody does what you know, but I wore a shirt and tie, coat to church when I was on vacation. Because I just think going to church, I mean, I want to look my best when I come to God's house. But you don't have to. And but anyhow, that's what I did. We made a big deal out of going to church. We got caught a few times in some unusual churches where I'd stop and look in the phone book and try and find one, you know, in the phone book and here and there. And I was telling Brother Hiles about one we were in that, I mean, it was just sad. And he said, well, you know, Brother Jorgensen, some of our better members plan their vacation enough and ahead that they can be in good churches on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And I said, well, you know, that's a good idea. So after that, we did. And we looked ahead and found, you know, is there a good church? We want to be where there's a good church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We want to take the kid, you know, because that's important. And, I mean, you'd say, well, going to church is important, but when you don't go, that, you know, Dr. Evans, my dear friends, likes to say your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And, I mean, you go to church. Well, Dad, I don't feel real well. I think I need to stay home from church tonight so I can be sure I'm well enough to go to school. No. You go to church tonight. If you need to, you stay home from school so you can be well enough to go to church. Church is more important than school. And I'm a school guy. But church is more important than school. Well, I got a big project due tomorrow. If I stay home from church tonight, I could get it done better. Well, then turn it in not so good. But we go to church. And, I mean, I don't know anything more important than building your life around the church. And I don't think you got to choose between being the right kind of a Christian or the right kind of a soul winner or bus worker or anything else and being the right kind of a parent. Bible teaches I'm supposed to do both. And if God wants me to do both, there's got to be a way to do both. I mean, I work 60, 70, 80 hours a week in the office, probably about 70 hours a week on the average in the office, not counting going to church and not counting, you know, things like that when my kids were at home. But there wasn't hardly a grade school soccer game or wrestling match that any of my kids were in that I wasn't there. Now, I had a job where I could, you know, work and go in the morning and work, and if their soccer game was at 3 o'clock, I could leave at 5 till and be over there and watch the game, get back to the office at 4:30, work another hour till dinner, go home and eat, and spend some time in the evening with the kids, come back at 8:30, 9 o'clock, work till 11 or 12. I mean, I could kind of come and go as I wanted to. Used to say, long as I wanted to work 60, 70 hours a week, nobody much cared which 60 or 70 they were. And, you know, but there wasn't hardly a grade school soccer game where I had a boy playing or a daughter cheering that I wasn't there. My boys never played Little League baseball that I wasn't either the coach or a helping coach. Junior high, you know, candy sales, science fairs. I mean, I spent time with my kids. We'd go to the Cubs games and cry, and the Sox games and cry in those days. But vacations, and I mean, you know, you don't have to choose between being the right kind of Christian, right kind of a dad. And I certainly made mistakes as my kids were growing up. I'm not a perfect dad by any means. But it just made sense that if my goal was that they keep going to church for the rest of their life, that I ought to go to church. And I jotted down a couple other things here. Some of these I put down one night after I got real exasperated with Brother Paul Jorgensen, teaches for us now. And he, I don't remember what, but he was somewhat rebellious through high school and never got into any gross sin, but his spirit wasn't right and so on, and I'd gotten real frustrated, and he talks about that freely in preaching or testimonies and so on, so I'm not saying anything that those of you that have been down there are going to go there don't know or won't hear. And I'd gotten, you know, just upset with him, and went back to college, and somebody said, no, you didn't handle that right, and I listened and thought, you know, that you're right. And jotted a few thoughts down. But anyhow, one of the things I jotted down that day was, I've got to convince my children that I love them. And I do. But it's not enough for me to love them. I've got to make them believe I love them. Somehow, I've got to make my children believe that I love them. And that they can't do anything to make me stop loving them. That they'll never cease to be my child. Whatever you do, however you mess up, I'm going to love you. And I got frustrated with you over whatever that was. But I do love you. And I'm sorry I didn't express that. You say, well, how do you convince your kids you love them? One of the ways you do it is by spending time with them. I mean, you show up at the stuff they're interested in. I was thinking this morning, I remember when I was in, I think, fourth or fifth grade, I was in some kind of a, I don't remember what it was, some kind of a little program or something, or play or something we'd worked on, and I'd really worked at it, or thought I had, and memorized, had a few lines or something. I don't suppose I was singing. I've never been much of a singer, but I had something I was doing in there that was important to me, and I'd really worked on it, and it was mostly for the school, but you could invite your parents, but for some reason my mother didn't work outside the home, but she had something going, she couldn't come, and I was just real upset one night and thinking, you know, there ain't going to be anybody there to see me. And Dad said, well, you know, what's the problem? And he kind of drew out of me, and I said, well, Dad, nobody's going to be there, Mom, and you have to work. And he said, well, if it's important to you, I'll be there. So he took off, left work, came over, watched whatever little thing, you know, four lines I said or something. That said, I love you. More than words. You ought to do both. You spend time with them. You teach, second thing down, I accept you and am proud of your achievements. You don't have to reach a certain level of success for me to be proud of you or to accept you or to love you. Our daughter is our oldest, and she went through grade school with no demerits. And junior high, she got a couple for tardies each semester. I think maybe that was in ninth grade. I think she didn't want to be the only kid in school with no demerits, and so she was late to class once each semester, so she got three. And she was, I guess, a little bit of an attitude there, you know, if that's an attitude. And she got five others once where she was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and straight A's, no demerits, all the awards. And so now my older boy is coming along 2-3 years behind her, and if he has a perfect record, he can tie his sister. You know, what boy wants to tie his sister, you know? And, you'd name the word she didn't win leaving high school easier than you can the one she did. And but somehow I got to, you know, if he's getting B's and C's, he's still my boy. And he doesn't have to reach some level of success for me to be proud of him. I need to be proud of what he is achieving. And so I put down number one, how to convince my son, my children, that I love them. Number two, that I accept them. Number three, I want to help you reach your goals. Some of the times your kids are going to have different goals than you do. But I want to help you reach your goals, as long as they're good and wholesome. At one point, Brother George, my son, was thinking, well, I want to get into politics. I want to become a lawyer and something or other. There's nothing wrong with that. And I said, well, give me a year of Bible college, and I'll try and help you get started in there. I've been in politics some, Indiana especially, and I'll do what I can to get you a start, help you, work with you. Well, he went to Bible college a year. Dr. Lee Robertson preached one day. He surrendered to service, and life's been different ever since. But if his goal is to be a good wrestler, I'll send him to a wrestling camp. If his goal is to be a good basketball player, I took my boys to basketball camp. If one of my daughter's goals was sewing and so on, and I learned a little bit about sewing and tried to help her with, I want to help you reach your goals. It occurred to me at some point that if I want my kids to be interested in what I'm interested in, like the ministry and soul winning and reading your Bible and things like that, then maybe I ought to get interested in what they're interested in, like sports or cars or sewing or NBA finals or whatever. When we go see our grandkids now, our oldest is seven, Scott, seven, six. And, when we got there out to Oregon last time, and, Grandpa, come on and see the new rescue heroes I've got. I got this new thing up here. Well, hey, that's interesting to him. So maybe I ought to be interested in it. Oh, you did, Scott? Where? Let me see it. Oh, what does it do? Oh, hey, that's cool. I mean, that's what I do. And we get down on the floor and crawl around and look. And, oh, this one will shoot and it'll do that. Oh, wow. Now, I enjoy being with my grandkids. But if I want them to be interested in what I'm interested in, then maybe I ought to get interested in what they're interested in. And I want to help you reach your goal. And lastly, support the church and the program, and I already talked about that a good bit. It's about 25 after, which I think is when you asked me to stop, so let's have a word of prayer. Father, pray that you'd bless the church here and these folks. Help all of us to be better children, sons and daughters, dads and moms. Pray you'd bless our lives and our families. Thank you for the opportunity, the wonderful privilege you've given us to have a family. A place to be loved and cared for, and where we can care for others. Bless, we pray. Bless the service to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.